the Parthax Dear Diary podcast. If you remember last week, we were on holiday in Northern Yorkshire, and Cecil and Mum and my auntie and uncle and cousin had just poured corpse dust all over me and in me. Some got up my nose, some got in my mouth, and I'm sure a little bit went up my bum. Never mind. So I'm in the best and worst possible mood I've been in my life. As in, I'm in the best, like the highest worst mood I've ever been. I'm getting angry thinking about it now, even though it's in the past. I can't let it go. Should do though, shouldn't I? Hey, right, anyway, let's kick off with the 25th of June. Let's begin the reading, hymn number 478. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in your loving heart. Simon. I hope this isn't the first podcast you've ever listened to, the Radio Thax, Parthax Dear Diary podcast. If it is, you'll be baffled, like some sound in a studio. Anyway. 25th of June. Tuesday, sexy Tuesday. I don't know why, but I've always found Tuesdays to be the most erotic of all the days. Yes, even more erotic than a Thursday. I don't know why. Well, after the horrors of yesterday, I feared for what hideous plans Mum and Dad had in store for me. I was woken rudely up at 9 o'clock by Mum and Dad just stood over me. I panicked for a second, but then I looked at their arms, which were laden with tubs of candy floss. They gently dropped them on me, and they said they were sorry. So, being a magnanimous and beautiful boy, I forgave them. Plus, because I knew that they'd just been given £24,000 between them. So I thought, maybe if I'm nice to them, they'll write off all the debts, the pooey carpet in the old bathroom, and the various other things that I owe the money for. Anyway, today I'd forgotten, but it is Tony's stag do. So it's time to put my plan into action. So what we did was, me and Dad got into the hire car and drove to the cottage where Tony, Eugene and Toby Wilde and Bobby Finnegan were all staying. And then they were all just sat round drinking lager drinks, which, given that it was 2 minutes past 11 in the morning, was a bit much, I thought, a bit laddish. It's not men behaving badly. I bet they had a copy of FHM or something in there. Anyway, we all squeezed into the car, and then Tony was sat in the front because he says he gets travel sick. And he pointed out that the car had inbuilt satellite navigation. Oof, the arguments that could have been avoided if we'd known that. He put in the destination that I gave him. I gave him longitude and latitude, and he got it wrong 4 times. It had us going into the North Sea. But we got there in the end, and I just said, everyone just go there and don't ask any questions because I've got a very erotic day planned for us. So we got in the car and drove. Nobody knew what was going on the stag night. Only Chunky Paul Thax, the best man to Tony, knew what plans I'd put in place. So, 20 minutes later, we were in the strange and exotic city of Harrogate. And I led all the gentle stags down the street until we reached a public library. They asked me what the hell we were doing here. And they said, you better not be just bringing us here to look at the rude pictures in the medical journals. And I said, no, just come follow me inside. And they did. Inside and up the stairs to conference room 3. We all sat in the front row while we waited for the theatre performance to begin. You see, I'd found a very interesting play for us all to view. It sounded incredibly erotic and very laddish. The perfect way to kickstart someone's bawdy shenanigans on a stag night. So we all sat there in pitch black, hushed tones. And then an old lady shuffled onto the stage we could just make her out in the dim light. She was about 60 to 70 years old, and she just handed out as a flyer to everybody, but we couldn't read it because it was too dark. Then the woman took her place in the middle of the stage, and then a bright light lit her up, and she said, I was 12 years old when my mother slapped me. To be honest, I didn't know what was going on, though Dad explained it to me now. The lights went up, and I looked at the other guys' faces, and they all had a look of utter shock. Tony tried to ask me something. He leaned over, but then the woman on stage suddenly shouted, "My angry vagina!" And I heard something about a gynecological procedure before Dad grabbed my arm and dragged me running out of the room. All of us were running down the hall, no one saying anything. As we staggered, I got to look at the flyer that was in my hand. It was a picture of a red flower and the title of the play. See, I thought the vagina monologues would be something about a giant talking vagina getting into all kinds of scrapes and situations of an erotic fashion. If I'd have known it was a woman talking about her ancient claptrap, I probably wouldn't have come. Pun intended. Anyway, we all ran away to a local cafe. Nobody said anything, we just sat there in shock and disbelief. They asked me what else I had in mind, and I told them that my idea for Tony Stag Do was that we're going to start off the day with erotic culture, which was an erotic play. Then we're going to go to an erotic art gallery, then a not too erotic pub lunch, then a slightly erotic film as they were showing Disney's The Little Mermaid, which is quite saucy because she's wearing a bra for the first quarter of the film, isn't she? Then in the evening we'd look at the Littlewoods catalogues, and then round the day off by having half a pint, either at a pub or just getting some kind of lager from an off licence in the village, and then off home to bed for hopefully erotic dreams. Tony stated that he was utterly incapable of getting any kind of sexual arousal due to his year of glue sniffing and drug addiction. I didn't know he couldn't get aroused, so he wasn't interested in anything rude. He said he just wanted to get as drunk as possible. And then Cecil also questioned why men seem to want to get sexually aroused, you know, on stag nights together, by going into the strip clubs and the, you know, the seedier parts of town. And I just thought that's what you do. I was just trying to conform to convention. I didn't know. In the end, we compromised. We all bought a bottle of Tesco Value whiskey, and we went back to the cottage and watched Digby the World's Biggest Dog, which isn't some kind of horrific pornographical film. It's a kid's film from the 70s about a massive dog. I got a bit bored and went to play Minecraft on my laptop. Towards the end of the evening, they all got a bit rowdy, and Mum came and kicked him out at about 9 o'clock. Then I was in my room and I just heard Tony shouting down the street, "Thanks for trying, Paul! You're the best man I've ever had! I love you!" And then he was sick on Eugene, and everybody laughed, and then Toby Wilde, the dwarf, slipped in it. 26 of the Juvenile.
How many syllables can you put into one word that doesn't need more than one syllable, Paul?
Oh, I don't know, Cecil. 26 of Juwana. Quite a lot, Cecil.
Idiot.
Anyway, today we visited a local arboretum. It's not Tesco's wedding. It's not Tony's wedding today. Not yet. That's soon, though. It's coming up. Oh, when is it coming up? I'm going to scroll through. Keeping going. Still keeping going. I don't know. When is it now? 30th of June, so we've got quite some ways to read yet. Oh, dear me. Okay, scroll back down. I've lost my pace. Angry vagina. Unable to get an erection. Digby the world's biggest dog. Best man. 26th of June. Today we are visiting a local arboretum. Whatever that is. It sounds a bit space-aged and futuristic if you ask me, which I know you probably will. In fact, we're going there now. I've just got to eat my bowl of Cocoa Poppies, which is a Cocoa Pops imitation brand. Goodbye. Well, I'm back. Don't know why I wrote that this morning, but I thought I would try and do it like a live blog, but it didn't work. I wasn't allowed to take my laptop. Anyway, I'm back in the cottage now, and what can I say about today? Well, not much really. It was very nice. Not a single major incident at all. Well, apart from the bit with the chickens, but I'll get to that in due course. I found out an arboretum is all trees and stuff, all put together so you can look at them. But, you know, it's nice, but this place is something else. You see, I've got snot now. not only with the trees and plants and stuff, but it had a nice cafe. So we got there and we thought, we'll have a nice meal at the cafe first. But I'm sure as soon as we walked in, I heard the waitress say, "Oh my God," you know, just when she saw me. And that's either very, very good or very, very bad. I assume the latter. Dad ordered me a cheese scone and the waitress, who actually was right in the ball, said, "Do you only want the one?" And Cecil looked at me as if to say, "How many cheese scones do you want, chubby tips?" I just sort of said, "Five, please." Then the waitress smiled to herself and then went into the back room to butter them, I assume. I could hear laughing, though. Stupid bitch with her flaccid bosoms. Anyway, I went and sat outside in the picnic area and tried to film some various birds flying around the place. Which I did, actually. I think I might want to apply to be a wildlife cameraman. I think I'd be quite good at it. I got quite a few tits on camera. They were all blue, though. Anyway, I think I'd be a good cameraman, as long as I don't have to video anywhere where there might be spiders, or them ants that bite you, or snakes, or that's too warm, or that's up a hill. Anyway, Cecil brought out the food and our consummation began. Or should that be consumption? I don't know, I think they mean the same thing, don't they? Then we had a nice walk around this arboretum-y thing. After about 2 hours, we went into this petting zoo. I never knew I was scared of birds. You see, in the zoo, there were some lovely meerkats and some goats. I thought, oh, they're nice. But most prevalent, don't know, it was just ducks and chickens. Some of the chickens were like nice little tiny blighters, but then there were these two huge beach ball sized chickens. Right, and I was sort of stood videoing them for Tony, when Mum, in her infinite stupidity, started throwing bread at my feet, and all the chickens flocked to my shins, and these two massive ones ran at me. It was alright for a few seconds, then all of a sudden I had visions of them poking at my young man, at my penis. Then I started to have another one of my freakouts. I tried my best not to scream as I ran as fast as my short legs would carry me, but I did scream, and the chickens all followed me. No matter where I ran, they just followed me, clucking me into new realms of terror. Luckily, a man came out and stopped them by just throwing some food sort of near them, but away from me. Oof. I ran out the zoo and I could hear him just laughing at me. After that, I insisted we come home. And so we did. And I'm going to go have a little lie down now, as this past few days has all been a bit much for me. Oof. I'm sat in bed writing this now with a large beaker of warm chocolate drink by my side and a giant bag of Doritos all to myself. Cheese, they make me smell nice. And now I have drunk my drink and eaten my crisps, I'm going to bed. And this paragraph has been a tiny waste of yours and my time. 27th of June. Wednesday, turgid Wednesday. Hasn't really been turgid. Don't even know what that means, to be honest. I just like the sound of it. Anyway, I just heard Cecil shout downstairs, "Dirty knickers on the table!" Oof. Don't know what's happening down there. You see, the cottage has an upstairs that's split into three rooms. My room, obviously, being one of them. It's got a double bed in, actually, and every night I imagine Cilla Black lying in the bed next to me. I don't know why I hate her teeth. I always imagine that, like, sort of biting my shoulder and taking a chunk out of them. This was obviously written before she pegged it with the tushy pegs. Then in the next room to mine is the bathroom / toilet, and the walls there are thinner than paper. So of course I can hear every movement, be it bower or bladder, or like a tree bower, don't know. Then the room joining onto the hall, which acts as a sort of hub for these three rooms, is Mum and Dad's bedroom. It's got two single beds in. Yeah, they can't share a bed anymore because Cecil's taken to punching Mum in his sleep. Oof, the floors are so frighteningly thin, I can hear all the conversations downstairs too. Oh, hang on, thinking about it, I left my dirty underwear downstairs, didn't I? On the kitchen table. Oof. Though Mum especially, calls them pants, underpants, knickers. You know, it's not too bad in private, but once when we were shopping for clothes in a very busy branch of Burton's, Mum, from the other side of the shop, shouted to me,
"You need some new knickers. Yours are all oiled and soiled."
I had to run out of the shop because a gang of girls were looking at me and smirking, which is just typical of Mum. She never takes my embarrassment into consideration. Today we went to the highly historic town of Barnard Castle. Just to wind Mum up, I of course been calling it Bernard Castle. Much to her and Father's annoyance. I was surprised about Dad, but he got really annoyed about it. They do get so wound up when I mispronounce words, either on purpose or, you know, just out of folly. Fop. Anyway, yeah, if we've been to Barnard Castle. Dad came here as a child with his school. He fell down a hill in the castle and broke his collarbone. It's taken him 68 years to pluck up the courage to come back here. Then when we tried to get him through the door, he point blank refused. He's like trying to put a cat in a box. He just put all his old biddy arms and legs out. I mean, he's only got two of each, but, you know, it's still plural, isn't it? He put them all out so we couldn't get him through the door. So I was like, "Sodger then, you silly old sausage." So me and Mum went round. It was absolutely delightful. There was loads of really old stones that have sort of been kind of like glued together using some kind of like stone-based glue sort of like thing, which forms a castle. Anyway, we've got a bogey on my hand. I don't know where that's come from. We were just about to go when we saw Cecil stood inside the castle. He was stood right atop the steep embankment where we think he broke his collarbone. He was just sort of frozen with panic. We walked over to him and I sort of pretended to push him by grabbing his shoulder. And Dad just turned round and punched me in the face. I let a yelp out and Cecil suddenly realised what he'd done. Then he got really defensive and told me it was my fault. Then we left. And then I sulked. Yeah, and like Batman would. We drove for a while until we came up upon the lovely village on the tip-top of Yorkshire. Moors, called some, I don't know, Ruth, I think. Not Ruth. There's a place we went to called Hawes. Near Hawes somewhere. But there weren't any prozzies. Anyway, it was lovely, this village. There was all fields and farms down below us. It's probably the nicest view you can see in this country. Obviously, they only made nicer if there were nude ladies. Sorry. Time marched on and the hunger began to set in. We'd only had a portion of fish and chips each for lunch. I was absolutely ravenous. So we decided to go to a local public house for our evening meal. The serving wench was comely, to be sure, and the food looked exotic and delicious. It was bizarre food, but almost too exotic. There's many exotic delicacies to have on offer to choose What they had on the menu, some of them were deep grilled pan charred salmon members, calamari cubes, beef noodle toupee. I'm surprised Dad didn't go for that. They had a towel of pork. Don't know what that was. Egg and onion clown. Diamond souffle. And prawn on the rocks. And they had something called a mixed garden salad. Don't know what any of that was. But with all the weird and wonderful food stuffs on offer, what delights were we to choose? We all went for trying something really exotic and different. We went for the large Yorkshire pudding with beef and ale gravy filling. 40 minutes later, they all came. Mine was piping hot. Mum's was piping hot. But Cecil's was as tepid as a snowdrop's nutsack in midwinter. He bit the first chunk of beef. He put it in his mouth. Then he suddenly spat it out and it shot across the restaurant and it landed in an old lady's shark fin risotto. And Cecil shouted,
"Oh, this bugger's bloody freezing!"
And the old lady who was the recipient of his mouth missile slammed a serviette on the table and said,
"Oh, well, I never did see such a thing."
But she said it in her own voice, not me putting on a silly old lady voice. Suddenly the manager came rushing over. The old lady spoke to her and then the manager came and talked to us. Cecil said he was very sorry to the old woman, but she was having none of it and she stormed off. Cecil said his dinner was chilly and he made the serving woman put a finger in the middle of his pork pie and that's not a euphemism. So the woman snatched it off him and went and heated it up, and 3 minutes later it came back, fresh out the microwave and hotter than the surface of the sun. But by this time me and Mum were halfway through ours, and we'd both realised it was actually disgusting. The meat was chewy, the Yorkshire pudding was a store-bought inverted dome of hideousness, and the gravy was just thin lumpy bisto. Our consummation of the food slowed down vastly. Mum kept spitting out bits of her horrible chewy beef bits, and I just couldn't eat any more. I left it. Dad, however, bloody loved it. He wolfed down the whole thing, and then he ate mine, and then he snatched Mum's off her plate and started eating all the pre-chewed chunks of beef. I had to run to the toilet to be sick. Oof, even now it makes me want to retch. Oh, disgusting. By about 9 o'clock we're back at the cottage. That's cottage in French. And we all had a drink of beer, and Cecil told us the age-old story about how he was a compere at a working men's club in the 1960s and 70s, and about all the stars he'd met back in the day. Or, as I've written in the diary, he told us all about the stars he met back in the dad. I don't know if that was a spelling mistake, or he was just saying that Tom O'Connor got in him for some reason. Don't know. Anyway, Dad does say Tom O'Connor's a top bloke. Anyway, I'm in bed writing this now. Just had a muffin, mixed it with milk and tea, as the muffin was 3 days old and stale. I'm now washing it down with some of Mum's 21-year-old whiskey, which I was forbidden from touching, but touched it I have.
June 20th, I'll be trumping soon. Oh, what's on the telly? Och, it's Mr. Boone.
28th of June. Thursday, tepid Thursday. Only it wasn't tepid today. It was actually really jolly hot indeed. Too hot if you ask me. And I know you did, which is why I answered you, obviously. Today we went to the delightful market town of Farsk. And you have to pronounce it like that. We went there for 7 minutes. I quickly got round two of the charity shops. I bought a Star Wars game for the GameCube, a console I don't own and never have owned, and Driver 2 for the PlayStation 1, which I also don't own. But I do have a PlayStation 3 and 4, so I think they can run PlayStation 1 games. I'm not sure, but I'm certain that they've got the inbuilt ISOs from the PlayStation 1 embedded in the firmware of the system, so you can actually run... I've just realised people maybe aren't as interested in nerdy bullshit as me. But this diary's not for you, it is for me. It's all my innermost feelings, nerdy though they may be in terms of console games. Oh, I wonder when they'll make a new Tomb Raider. Sorry, seems to have gone off at a tangent. Anyway, we wandered round Thursk for 7 minutes. Then Cecil and Margaret's bowel parts had a bit of a to-do, and we had to rush back to the cottage before we were drowned in bum water. I told them those prawns smelt off, but they never listened to me about anything, and their bums were very, very poorly. So we spent all day in the cottage. It's been so boring. I even thought about going for a walk. I mean, I didn't go for one, and even imagining going for one was a grueling and arduous affair. But, you know, I thought about it. That's a start, isn't it? We didn't have any tea. I ate a small bag of peanuts instead. I'm in bed now, miserable. I've got nothing to do. It's 1 minute past 22, and I might go to sleep. Night pooping night. I'm sure it will be for some of the Thax party members, people. 29th of June. Blah, blah, blah. Friday, Cardboard Friday. Because I always feel like Friday is made from cardboard, as opposed to the other days, which are probably made from a more sturdy material, like wood or a kind of strong perspex. I don't know why I feel like Friday's a feeble kind of day that could collapse at any moment. Maybe that's just how I feel after a hard week's work of sitting down and thinking about not masturbating. Sorry. Anyway, we're back at home now in Biddeton. Mum and Dad got more poorly through the night, and poorly is the word for it. So we had to drive home. Ooh, actually, I never got to describe the owners of the cottage, did I? You know, what outlandish characters were they? What hilarious mishaps did befoul them? What social faux pas did I accidentally do? Well, they weren't outlandish characters. And I did nothing. And essentially, they were just boring middle-aged people who showed us to the cottage and then never raised their ugly heads again. Unsociable buggers. Just think of the evenings we could have had when me and Cecil would sing to them, Mother would do a dance, and we'd tell stories of gypsy mystics getting the predictions all wrong. Something like that, don't know. Oh, Cecil's just punched Mum. They were both having a nap on the sofa together, and he's gone all violent in his sleep. At least I assume he's asleep. I spent most of the day relaxing in my own house, just sitting in my pants on the other bit of the sofa. It's been so hot. Even Dad was only wearing just his Y fronts and a tie, obviously keeping it smart casual. It's Tony's wedding tomorrow. It kicks off at 11 a.m. He's having a full-on wedding do, you know, in a church and everything. In the end, Mum didn't do anything to help Tony's wife for the wedding. I think they got into a huge argument when Mum suggested they have it as fancy dress. I don't think it is fancy dress, but then looking at Mum's outfit, you'd think it was. It's bright green, a tight Margaret Thatcher style lady suit, with the trousers and everything. Looks horrible, it looks ridiculous, but she does look quite powerful and as if she could rule with an iron fist. Anyway, this afternoon Mum and Dad went out to get a wedding present for Tony. They said I should get him one too. But I'm poor and I can't afford a bag of crisps at the moment. My present's going to be being his best man and having a speech to do and looking after the little shit. Bald, two dirt top hat wearing idiot ears. Actually, thinking about it, I'm supposed to go and see Tony tonight to get him ready for tomorrow. Bollock. Better go. See you later, dear diary. Ugh. It's 34 minutes in the morning past 3 a.m. Tony's been an absolute shit this evening. He had the mother of all freakouts when I asked him about his in-laws. Apparently he'd forgotten about them. And that because when him and his wife were initially married and then they initially split up, Tony posted them a poo in a box with the note just saying, "Your Easter gatherings are boring as shit." I mean, that was 15 years ago, and I think he hoped that they died so he wouldn't have to explain his actions. He then freaked out about being committed to one woman for the rest of his life, especially as his penis doesn't work. I think he was more worried that she'd have another string of affairs. Though I said again, if he couldn't fulfil her needs, I would happily accommodate her. Then he punched me in the arm really hard for some reason. Then, by midnight, he'd got up to his old tricks of hiding and eating glue sticks. That rhymes, and you know that rhymes. I heard a gentle sobbing coming from somewhere. It was a bit like a poltergeist. It was just sort of in the walls. It turned out he'd barricaded himself in the cupboard under the stairs and his sobs were just reverberating through the house. So once I'd battled through the ironing board and tower of plastic bags he'd put in the way, I saw he'd got his way through three glue sticks. I can say Pritt stick now, it's not being published. Don't matter, does it? He used to eat Pritt stick. I dragged him out by his arm and just threw him on the bed settee. And then, being quite powerful and not as drunk as him, I got the sheet and tied him to it so he couldn't escape. He eventually went to sleep and I sat in an armchair watching that auction TV channel they used to have. But I turned the volume down, you know, I wanted to keep Tony all quiet and relaxed. Ugh. I'm writing this now as they're selling a beautiful diamante ring. It's not diamond. It's only £2.99, but the postage and packaging is £79. Crazy, it's beautiful though. Stunning. Plastic. Anyway, I better stop writing this dear diary and get some sleep. It's Tony's big day in 7 hours. There we go. 30th of June. Tony's wedding day. I woke up this morning at about 6 a.m. hearing...
This product is...
Is it, Tony? Do you want to try taking that again, please?
Sorry, Paul. I do apologise. That's very unprofessional of me. What would they say at RADA?
You've never been to fucking RADA.
I never said I had. I just said, what would they say, you stupid... Sorry. Do apologise. I will go for a second take on that if you don't mind me.
I do mind you, but go on. Just do it again. You ruined this. What's up, Tony?
It's just this brings back a lot of bitter memories for me, pal. Okay. 7 years ago now, and everything that's happened since. Don't want to think about it, but I have to confront it, so I'm going to. I just, you know, let me do it in my own precious sweet time, please.
You haven't got any precious sweet free time. Just get on with it, lad. I'll go from the beginning and you join in on your lines, all right, Tony? Thank you.
That's the second take, people. First position.
What?
I said first positions.
All right.
30th of June. I woke up this morning at about 6 a.m. hearing...
This product is guaranteed to be free from defect.
Tony's got back in the Pritt stick again. He just wasn't hiding it this time. He was in his kitchen, fully nude, just smashing glue sticks into his mouth and face. There's only one thing to do when this happens, and like four times in the past, I found myself punching him as hard as I could in his eye sockets. We fought for a terrible 3 minutes or so, both of us landing quite a lot of facial punches. In the end, I fell at him, knocked him to the ground and pinned him to the floor, as I had sort of his arms in my hands and my feet over his ankles, so he just couldn't move, and my vast bulk just sort of pressing down on his tummy and hips. I felt like a judo man or something. Maybe I was doing taekwondo and I didn't know it. He got really angry and just started swearing at me, saying he didn't want me at his wedding, how much he's always hated me. And then suddenly, mid-pritt stick high rant, he just sort of stopped, looked at me with a very puzzled expression, the kind of expression I've only ever seen three times, twice on a monkey, and then once on Dad's face when he was watching Baywatch. It wasn't Baywatch, what was it? The Clothes Show, can't read, getting too excited. Then Tony just started begging me to get off him, and I said no, but then something started prodding me in the anus. Like, what the hell's going on here? And Tony just kept writhing and this thing kept prodding me. So I sort of rolled off and he got to his feet and I gave him a look of utter shock and disgust. It was in full priapic arousal. You know, he started dancing around the kitchen, thrusting this way and that with his erection, twanging it like it was one of those door stoppers and it was flopping around. Well, it wasn't flopping around the place, rigid as the days long. I got myself up and ran screaming into the bathroom and locked the door. I could hear him singing and dancing. His transformation was like that of Scrooge. He was giddy as a schoolgirl, though nude, a schoolgirl that's nude, high on Pritt stick and sporting an erection. It was a bit like the grandfather from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Half an hour later, he said I could come out. He said the beast was caged. I told him to give me a few minutes as I was trying to wash the blood off my face. See, Tony had got quite a few good punches in. I think he broke my nose, to be honest. I covered myself in plasters and sort of dabbed at my face. I was all puffed up, purple and bloated. More bloated than normal. And then I opened the door and saw Tony's face. He looked like a panda. A panda with lips like a cod. I'd done a right number on him too. I didn't realise I was so powerful. And then he came in the bathroom and got himself cleaned up. He looked ridiculous. By 10 a.m. we were both in our wedding-y outfits. His was a bright white suit and top hat as usual. But he normally wears that. But this one had, I don't know, I think it had like glitter on it or sparkles or something. It looked well fancy. and I was wearing Dad's second best black suit. I kind of looked like a Blues Brother. But the jacket wasn't big enough and the arms were far too short. The jacket looked like it would suit a T-Rex. It had a big body but really tiny arms. The sleeve jacket stopped at about halfway down my forearm and the trousers were only a 48 inch waist. So I couldn't even do the button up. I started to do the fly up half a bit, leave the top bit unbuttoned, then hope my belt would hold it all up. It's a good job my boxer shorts are black so you couldn't really see my pubis. We actually looked like the most dapper gentlemen in town, I thought. You know, if you ignore our faces, because they both swelled up and the bruises were deep purple. And I was slightly bleeding still from the nostrils. Anyway, the taxi came and we both got to sit in the back. And then as soon as I sat down, my belt snapped. So I had to ring Mum and Dad and get them to bring my powder blue suit. So we got to the church on time and Dad was there waiting for me. And I had to get my suit on in the graveyard. And there was like proper attractive young women there, like my age, you know, nothing untoward. But they were just watching me. I think they were trying to get a glimpse of my genital cluster. So I accidentally bent over at one point and I think my testicles came out from the bottom of my He-Man underpants. And then I just turned around and one of the bridesmaids was being sick. Never mind. Anyway, Mum came over to see me and Tony just as I was putting my trousers back on and she took one look at our battered faces, tutted and said, glue or blue tack? And I just said, prit stick. And she tutted and walked off. We made our way into the church and Tony and I went to stand at the front. There was an awkward silence as everyone looked at our faces, but nobody said anything. We sat down on the pews for a few minutes, but I kept slipping off. I don't think they were designed for chunky boys, as the seats were at a 90 degree angle and very uncomfortable, and the circumference of my back and buttocks just wouldn't... I couldn't get any purchase. So very awkward. The wedding was at 11 o'clock, and 11 o'clock came, and then 11 o'clock went, and we were all sat there wondering when she was going to turn up, if she was going to turn up. Then it got to 11:28. Then all of a sudden the steel drum started playing Here Comes the Bride and in walked Tony's wife-to-be. Well, at least I hope it was. Her veil was the very thick neck curtain type thing and unfortunately she'd gone for the cleavage hiding dress so you couldn't see her bosoms. In fact, she might as well be wearing a burqa of the amount of flesh you could see. It wasn't half as erotic as I thought it would be. She finally made it to the front. She only tripped up twice. I'm sure she couldn't see anything. Then the vicar started with all that dearly beloved shit. I zoned out, to be honest. It was only when the vicar said something about, is there any persons here who know of any reason why these two should not be married, that I started to pay attention. Because as hard as I wanted to, I tried to push out a trump. But it wouldn't come out. And nobody else objected to the wedding. So I assumed that my bowels didn't either. Everything went fine until the You May Now Kiss the Bride section. That's when Tony lifted her veil. She was almost as battered and bruised as we were. Tony said to her,
blue stick.
And she said,
no, Tippex. I've been a casualty most of the night.
She sounds like Michael Jackson, don't you, if you know that. She looked like a right mess. That was a good impression of her, Cecil.
Thank you.
That was Dad doing that impression, in case you're curious. Obviously, Michaela's not here. Is that her name? I think that's her name.
Yeah.
Sorry. She looked a right mess. But, yeah, she... I buggered that up. There's a punchline to that. Can we go for a second take on that one, please? I buggered it. Everything was fine until the You May Now Kiss the Bride bit. When Tony lifted a veil, she was almost as battered and bruised as Tony was. He said to her,
blue stick.
And she said,
no, Tippex. I've been in casualty most of the night.
She looked like a right mess, but her teeth were whiter than white. You see, because she'd been drinking Tippex. Do you understand that? I have to explain that because I cocked it up. Ridiculous.
Yes, please, come on.
Then they did that kiss thing. I looked away in disgust because I can't think of Tony being aroused. And I looked around and saw that there was a bridesmaid who I'd not seen before. She was, like me, a chunky lass. Her cleavage? Well, you could ski down that if you really wanted to. It was ginormous. If she started singing, the wedding would have been over. You know, because she was the epitome of the fat lady. I bet her name was Helga. Anyway, Tony and his wife, when they must find out her name, buggered off in a posh car to the pub/restaurant they'd rented for the reception. And we all had to walk, on our own way there. It was bad enough, but it was boiling hot and I was sweating my entire arse area off. You know, just standing in this suit. So I imagine walking there, I was going to drown in gargantuan amounts of chunky slobber sweat. Oof. It was only 15 minutes away, but it took me 38 minutes to get there. Oof. I'd had to take my jacket off and roll my trousers up. It was so warm. 26 degrees, in case you're curious. It's too much for a chubby lad like me. Upon getting to the pub, I was stopped by a teenage child who was just sort of grunted, and she pointed me at the seating plan. It had never crossed my mind that I'd sort of actually have to sit with people and eat a meal with strangers. I assumed I'd be sat with mum and dad, but then probably more than that unassurable. Terror and nerves hit me like a poo might hit some fans. What if I had to sit with people that I didn't know? What if there were ladies there? What if the ladies were wearing no-cut dresses that you could see most of the boobalage? What if I couldn't take my eyes off them? What if they said, "Hey, I'm up here, pal." Then I could use my comeback, "Yeah, but your bosoms are down there." No, I don't want you thinking that I think women are just walking pairs of bosoms. You know, they've got that saucy backside. Sexism. Hashtag me too. Anyway, after several minutes of looking at the chart, I couldn't see my name anywhere. So I just sort of waddled over and went to find Tony. Luckily, he said that I was his right-hand man and I was just sat with him on his head table. However, once I got to the head table, I found I was actually surrounded by people I didn't know. To my left was Tony, yeah, that's fine. But then to his left was his wife. Then to my right was the very chunky, busty bridesmaid. Couldn't believe it. Even in my peripheral vision, I could see giant bosoms. Then to Tony's wife's left, there was some oldish man and woman and the vicar from the wedding. I didn't realise they came to the reception. And then further on, just some youngish bridesmaid people. Couldn't believe it. It was all very strange and frightening to me. Don't like being in this social bubble. Half the time, I don't know where to look. I didn't know where to look, sorry. Everywhere I turned, there seemed to be just ladies with revealing outfits on. I found it very, very, very awkward. Anyway, after about 20 minutes, we were all asked to sit down and stop talking, and they were going to bring out the food. Luckily, being on the head table, we all got served first. At least that's what I thought. When they actually brought the food out to us, Tony's wife asked them to serve the peasants first. So after about 15 minutes, they finally brought out our starters. I was disgusted. The starter was a plate of celery wrapped in some kind of ham, covered in a whitish brownish sort of sauce with some leafy garnish. I didn't know what to do. This was an incredibly posh do, and I couldn't just leave it. Not with so many sexual women around. If you thought I was picky, then you know, it's another tick in the box of why they didn't want to touch me. So I thought, I'm going to man up here, and I'm going to have to just eat something. Then the chubby lady sat next to me, elbowed me in the ribs and just said, "Oh, this looks delicious. Yum, 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 yum." And she started clapping her hands with every yum and bouncing up and down in her seat like an excited 3-year-old. I thought, right, if this chunky bird gets as excited about this as she does, then maybe I should give it a go. How bad could it be? So I chopped the green sticky things into small chunks and I pulled all the ham off them. I first of all tried the ham to see if I could stomach the taste of ham, see if it had been contaminated with the greenery, and it hadn't. I couldn't detect any hint of greenery, just delicious meat. So I thought, maybe celery doesn't taste of anything. I thought it was meant to make your wee smell funny. So what I did was I got all the ham and put it around my tongue like a hammy tongue condom. And then I put some chunks of celery in my mouth and used the ham as protective coating. And then I began to chew. Nothing. No taste whatsoever. The hammy condom worked. So I just began to chew with gay abandon. Oh dear. The celery felt like tiny shards of wood in my mouth. Tough as old boots and twice as disgusting. And then I wanted to spit it out because the taste hit my taste buds. Just a disgusting concoction of a flavour I'd never tasted before washing across my gums. But then the chubby lady next to me started rubbing my forearm, saying, "Oh, who's a good boy? You like your nummy-nums, don't you? And nummy-nummy-nummy-nums." And she, as she was saying the nummy-nums, she started putting chunks of celery in my mouth and her fingers touched my lips. I was so conflicted about this. On one hand, a woman was touching me, but on the other hand, some greenery was making me slightly retch. It was like being on a sexy I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. I chewed as fast as I could, pretended I was a celebrity in a jungle, eating a camel's wing dang doodle or something. All the while, the chubby lady was constantly making pleasing noises like, clearly enjoying the food, a bit too much if you ask me. I drank a whole glass of wine to help it wash down the vegetable ham mush, and that had all gone, got rid of it all. But then there was the leafy salad on my plate. I thought, well, maybe I'll try a little bit. But luckily the waiters just came over and took it away. I assumed then it must have been poisonous and only there for its appearance. It was disgusting. Then two men waiters came carrying a whole roast hog with an apple in its mouth. I felt like a king at a medieval court. Well, maybe not the king. Maybe a chubby knight or something. They plonked down the pig in front of Tony, who then was presented with a real sword by, don't know, some old man, don't know who it was. And then Tony proceeded to chop the pig in half with one swift movement. And then some pyrotechnics happened from the mouth and the bum of the pig as soon as Tony had chopped it up, and streams and glitters came shooting out of its mouth and anus. Everyone cheered and clapped, except me, because I'd got an eye full of glitter. I turned away from the pig rapidly and just towards the chubby woman. She must have seen what had happened, because she instantly said, "Oh, let me look at your eye!" And she poured water in my face, then demanded I try and open my eyeball. So I did, and the instant I opened it, she lunged at me with her mouth and put her tongue under my eyelid and just sort of licked my entire eyeball. She basically French kissed my eyeball. Wasn't as pleasant as I'd been led to believe, but you know, I'll take what I can get. She said apparently that was the best way to get anything out of an eye because of the saliva lubricant. I said, "Whatever, love, it's all right." I was a bit overwhelmed, to be honest. I said I got some on my crotch, but she just sort of hit me on the forearm and said, "Silly poo." The waiters chopped up the pork and handed it out along with roast potatoes, carrots and peas. I don't think the carrots and peas were roasted though, they might have been. It wasn't quite as posh as the starter, but it was 50 times more delicious. Not the peas or carrots of course, but you know, the rest of it. The chubby woman, when she was presented with the food, said, "Oh, this is Yummy McYummington, and I'm the Queen of Nummy Nums Town, and these subjects long for the caress of my tummy toothy tunnel." Thought, oh God. She was beginning to grate on me, if I'm honest. You know, she was a bit repugnant in her face because she had big veins coming out of her neck and stretch marks on her forehead. And then her personality was just beginning to grate. She was a bit too enthusiastic. Oof. Anyway, then came the pudding. It was unbelievable. We were each presented with a plate. And on the plate was a small, about 15 centimetre, which, for those of you who are ancient, is about, 6 inches? Don't know how modern conversion tables work. 20 inches, 2 inches, don't know, just imagine something. Anyway, it was a perfect pyramid, built with individual bricks of gold, or they looked like gold anyway, and then around the bottom were what appeared to be sand, but there was tiny reeds in the sand, like grass or something, then a small blue river. Then everybody was given one tiny, like, oil can type apparatus, which, when pumped, emitted a delicious smelling smoke. We were told to spray the smoke on the water, and that's Tony's favourite song apparently, and once we did that the blue water started bubbling and a mist started to come out of it. We all sat there mesmerised as the mist covered the sand and then the bottom of the pyramid. Suddenly the pyramid began to sink. Pyramids began to sink into the mist. Getting excited, until the whole plate was just covered in a dome of mist. We had to count to 30. And then the waiters told us to blow the mist away. And when we did, we were utterly amazed to see just a single Kinder Egg sat atop a small golden plinth with a golden puddle of liquid under it. The whole room erupted in cheers and everybody clapped. The waiter told us it was all edible, so we tucked right in. I think somebody choked on the tin foil on the Kinder Egg, but he was stupid and I think he was American and didn't understand the concept of what tin foil was. Everyone opened the Kinder Eggs, and inside was not just some kind of cheap plasticky toy, but rather it was individual presents for everybody. Mine was a tiny, tiny pen which had a lady on. When you turn it upside down, a leotard disappears and she's nude. Though it was far too small to see in any detail, but, I could still get something from it, if you know what I mean. The chubby woman next to me got a set of four tiny ornamental hamsters, which she named Chuffykins, Hambleton, Colonel Cutie McWhiskers, and Snuggletush the Third. I wanted to smash them. It was too chintzy. Is that too cutesy-poo? Then came the moment I'd been dreading more than anything else. The speeches. Tony went first, and he basically just thanked everyone he'd ever met. Then Tony's wife, must look up her name, keep forgetting. Her father said a speech. Then the vicar stood up and started talking. He was Tony's actual dad. You know, his actual father, not just the priest father, but, you know, his father in the sperm and egg kind of way. I didn't think vicars were allowed to reproduce. I thought they were like nuns. Ooh, knocked the microphone there when I said nuns, got too excited. I thought they were like nuns, but they're not. Anyway, he's Tony's dad, never knew. Nobody said anything amusing or offensive, but why would they? That's the best man's job. Everyone's just thanked people, and then it became my turn. Now, I've never really been one for public talking where people can actually see me. Don't mind doing it on the radio or on the internet where people can't look at me, see how red I've gone. That's fine, but in public, shit. In fact, if there's more than three people in the room, I struggle to find it able to talk. But buoyed up with the 2.5 bottles of wine inside me and the fact that if I stood up, I could probably see down quite a few more ladies' dresses, I stood up and began my speech, which went exactly like this. Hello, everyone, and thank you all for coming. I'd like to give a big hand to Tony and his wife. But from the looks of her, she's already got quite big hands. Tony, are you sure she's not a tranny? Hold for laughter, maybe. Now, I've known Tony for many, many years. Through some of the hard times, such as those 4 months you thought you were Brian Blessed and you just kept shouting at everybody. Or the many, many, many Sunday mornings where you would beg me to come with you to the sex clinic after your sexual misadventures of a Saturday night. This guy, ladies and gentlemen, has asked more women for abortions than I've had hot dinners. And that's saying something. I've known Tony through the good times, such as that week he thought he had skin cancer, but it turned out to be a bit of stuck on beef jerky, so he took us to the races to celebrate. You know, although he got through his entire mortgage money, I won 12 quid. It's not bad. Or the 3 days when he sent me that picture from his toilet when his wife had done a massive poo and blocked the toilet so much they had to call a plumber to sort it. Oof, we all had such a massive laugh at her expense. Tell you, when that thing gets into the ocean, Norway is probably going to harpoon it, thinking it's a whale or something. Oof, it's like a tree trunk. Your anus must just be ginormous, my love. Now, I've never said Tony had particularly high standards. I mean, look at that. Well, he's married. But I'd just like to thank him for the quality of the food we've had here today. Probably the last good meal you'll ever have, Tony. From what he tells me, she can't cook for toffee. She burns cups of tea. For a long time now, Tony's lied to us that his wife had died. And while that might be true that the woman that he showed us in the pictures that we pretended was his wife, he might have killed her. The real one obviously isn't dead. Twice as ugly and 10 times as repugnant. And aren't we glad she isn't dead? Who else could put up with that? Points at Tony. Look at his stupid face. Look at his bald head through choice. Why does he shave it? He looks ridiculous. Look at that gormless expression on his face, that stupid white suit, which I see you've spilled wine on. Who else would love a man so mind-numbingly gormless? A man who eats glue sticks, thinking it's the same as sniffing super glue. A man who only last night begged me to strangle him so he wouldn't have to get married to you. A man who this morning tried to slit his own wrists with a piece of paper. A man who says he chose to get remarried just because she's as barren as the desert in spring. Ridiculous, why? I'm sexier than he is. Anyway, I'd like to thank Michaela. Oh, I found out how to spell it. That's your wife's name, isn't it, Tony? Finally looked into it. I'd like to thank Michaela for taking Tony off our hands. Though this time round, love, try not to have four affairs. Also, Tony asked me to try and practice your Kegel exercises. Your pelvic floor could do with, as he puts it, vastly tightening up. Loose in every possible way, eh, love? Well, I couldn't afford a wedding present, so here's a gift card I've made, Michaela, for 7 minutes of chubby love from my genitals to your saggy old flaps. If Tony goes back to being as impotent as my dad, then I'll give you a go, I'm fine. Though if it's like slapping a hot dog around a wheelie bin, then I'm going to give it a miss. Now, dear diary, it was at this point in the speech when I felt a hard pain in my left cheek. Almost as if someone had punched me in the face. Which, as it turns out, they had. I looked over and Michaela was stood there, having seemingly pushed Tony over the way, out of the way and launched her fists at me. I said, "Ooh, I bet I'm not the first person you fisted, love." And then she just sort of pushed me and I sat back down. Nobody clapped. I thought the whole idea of the best man speech was to lampoon the happy couple. Reading it back now, I honestly don't know where I overstepped the mark. Shortly after Michaela pushed me over, she jumped over the table, screamed at Tony and stormed out the building, and she picked up 4 bottles of champagne on her way out and threw the empty one at Tony's face. Thankfully, it missed him. I looked at the chubby woman who was still sat next to me and she just said, "You've wrecked this." Then she slapped me and waddled off. Everyone else slowly made their way out. And then Tony ran up towards me. I thought he was going to punch me in the bollocks. and he just said,
"Oh, thank you. You've saved me, Paul. I'll be able to have sex whenever I want now. My penis can get fully erect."
And I said, "But you were going to get married."
"Yeah, I know, Paul. Now I'm single. I'll be able to have sex whenever I want."
"I don't understand. Are married people not allowed to have sex?" "Huh?" See, it's all these rules and hidden messages that sometimes makes me glad I'm incapable of talking to people and forming any basic human relationships. I met up with Mum and Dad outside the church, who actually weren't mad at me. They said it went pretty much expected how they imagined it would. Almost as if Tony had made me his best man so that I would wreck his wedding. Fair enough. 1st of July! I did nothing today but pooed. I must have pooed about 20 times. Mum said my bowel wouldn't be used to the vegetables, which is probably true. My wee didn't smell any different, though. My first poo was gold, however. I took a picture of it, my golden log, but neither Mum or Dad wanted to see, so I just sent it to them as a text message and they just opened the phones and there it was, straight in the faces, looking at them, winking at them almost. They both said it was actually reasonably quite impressive. I wanted to keep it and try and polish it, but I thought probably best not to, eh? Anyway, I flushed it, and I was tempted to eat it because that tasted delicious. You never know if there's no chocolate in the house and you're just absolutely desperate and you've got a polished chocolatey poo. You just don't know what's going to happen, do you, in the middle of the night when you just, the cravings become too much for you. And on that note, I will say good evening to you and I will see you next week, hopefully. Have a nice July, June, whatever it is. Toodaloo, to do a poo, the smells of gold, and drink some glue. Oh, I'm so sorry. Roll the shitty music.